Yes.
I'll try. Somebody said, give him hell. I don't know what that means, but I'll try to keep him honest anyway. That's a full-time job, believe me. Well, you know, I guess it's sort of a coincidence, but I arrived and somebody held up their hand back there with a newspaper, and it's the Macon News. That's a city in Georgia, you know. And Governor Carter said last night he never raised taxes when he was governor. This is what the headline said in the Macon News on September 22nd, 1976. I didn't print this paper. Someone just handed it to me. Jimmy's at it again. Jimmy's at it again. He just goes around saying, trust me. As I said before, pineapple juice is a lot better for you than peanut butter. For one thing, it doesn't stick to the roof of your mouth, and there are a lot of other... Tastes pretty good. Used to use in our campaigns a lot. But I want to say, first of all, that I'm very happy to be here and be in an area where you're going to elect a Republican congressman. We need Bob Johnson in the Congress. We need a good conservative congressman. And he's been an outstanding legislature and the kind of man we need to work with Skip Bifalas and others who are trying to hold down government spending and protect your future and protect your children's future, your grandchildren's future. And that's what it's all about. So I hope you work and work hard. Now, don't worry about me, because I've discovered if Ford's elected, I'm going to make it, so don't have to worry about me. All right, spend that time for John Grady. All right. Well, according to the Associated Press, the debate last night was very close, but Ford won the debate by about 36 to 33. I think when you consider the fact that anyone who's in office, and particularly the highest office of our land, and who's a very responsible man as President Ford is, he's got to be very careful in how he answers questions and how he responds. He can't make irresponsible promises or irresponsible statements, and he doesn't. He has in the past, and he won't do that in the future. And I say that's another difference between President Ford and Governor Carter. Carter will say anything, anytime, any place, any number of times if he thinks he can get your vote. He doesn't have to believe it. He doesn't have to believe it. Oh, well. And Governor Carter's had a great many interviews. He said last night he made a mistake in Playboy. Well, he did make a mistake. We knew that before he did. We knew it when we heard about it 6 weeks ago he made a mistake. He just found about it last night, and he finally decided the American people weren't going to accept it. So he said, well, I made a mistake. Okay, so he made a mistake, and this is my point. I've never criticized him for being interviewed by Playboy, except to say that it was very bad judgment. I've also said that this decision affects only Governor Carter. What I'm concerned about, what you ought to be concerned about, what would happen if he were president and made some decision that affected you and affected me and affected your family? Then would he stand up and say, well, I'm sorry I did that. I made a mistake. You've got to have more than that if you're going to be president of the United States. You've got to be a bigger man than that and a better man than that. And I think most Americans are finding that out. We're catching on as and catching up in this campaign as Americans are catching on to Jimmy Carter. And we're going to carry the state of Florida with your help, but we need your help. We keep finding little things that Governor Carter has said he would do. He's now said that he would increase foreign aid to 0.5% of our gross national product. That amounts to $8 billion a year. That's doubling the amount of foreign aid we have now. And I don't know of any great clamor in this area of Florida or in my state of Kansas to double our foreign aid program. We've got a lot of problems at home. A lot of problems here need attention. But here's that same Governor Carter who talks about conservatism, advocating one more big program, doubling the foreign aid program. And I think we ought to take a hard look. I think we ought to take a hard look at a man who says he wants to repeal Section 14B of the Taft-Hartley law, in other words, do away with your right to work law in the state of Florida. I think it's a pretty good law. I think people ought to have a choice. Someone once asked George Meany why he didn't run for president. He said, why step down? Why step down? He's got a pretty good grip on the Democratic Party, the Liberal Democratic Party. And I hope there are Democrats in this audience and Republicans and independents and working men and women, because you're concerned about spending. You're concerned about inflation. You're concerned about a strong national defense. And you're going to get more spending and more inflation and less defense with a Carter-Mondale ticket. You're going to get less spending and less inflation and a stronger America with a Ford-Dole ticket. I'm going to talk as long as my voice lasts. If I should stop in the middle, you know what's happened. I was standing in a draft down in Houston for about 75 minutes last Friday and picked up a little cold. I happen to think Americans are concerned about a philosophy. We can't be your geographical neighbor. I'm from Kansas, President Ford's from Michigan, Governor Carter's from Georgia. But we can be your philosophical neighbor, and that's more important. It's not where you live, it's how you think and if you think and what you think about. And I think we think about America and think about spending and think about inflation. So Jimmy can be your geographical neighbor. He'll be back after November 2nd. He'll be back in Plains, Georgia, and he can stay in Plains, Georgia. Pineapple juice, yeah. Let me talk to the mothers and the young men and others in this audience who really ought to be concerned about peace. President Ford mentioned it last night. There are a lot of men I can see about my age who understand peace and understand what it means to fight for your country, and we all did that. That's nothing unique. But I say to the men of draft age and the men in college, young men, and to their mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers, why all this talk about a change? What's wrong with being at peace in the world under President Ford? I kind of like it. I was talking with Skip Bifalis on the way down. He was talking about his son, Greg, who's in the 10th grade, And he was saying, as all of you would be saying, it's kind of nice to think that you can plan ahead. And if you have a son in college, he can go ahead and complete his education, not be worried about the draft, not be worried about dragged out of school and sent off to some far-off country to fight somebody's war. And he's not going to do that under President Ford because we're strong. We're respected by our adversaries. We're respected by our friends. And that's very important. And we're respected because we have a strong defense. And what does Governor Carter say? He says we ought to cut the defense budget $5 to $7 billion. Last year he said $15 billion. My counterpart, Senator Mondale, has voted against nearly every new weapon system, the C-5A, the B-1 bomber, the Trident submarine, the F-14 fighter, Poseidon missile, you name it, he's voted against it. And I just happen to believe. I don't want to waste your money for defense, but I want to preserve the peace for defense, and we can't be number two in this world and have peace, and that's what it's all about. And we ought to take a hard look at it. What does Governor Carter know about leadership? Somebody said nothing. That sums it up. That saves that long thing I had in mind. Well, he probably knows something, but I don't think he's had the experience. He certainly hasn't had the experience in foreign affairs. He went to the Naval Academy, and I applaud him for that. He's been buying peanuts, and I applaud him for that. He's been governor of Georgia, and I applaud him for that. And the people of Georgia, I understand, applaud him for not running again for governor. He talks about tax reform. He says our tax system is a disgrace. Said it's filled with loopholes and it's designed for the rich. That's what he says. That's what he said in New York. That's probably what he told his tax man when he said, take off that $41,000 off my tax bill for the investment tax credit. Then he stands up in an audience and says to the, quote, average people, he calls them out there, we got to close these loopholes. When someone asked him about taking $41,000 off his tax, he said, that's why we need tax reform. That's what he said. That's why we need tax reform. Well, I like the investment tax credit. I think it stimulates jobs and stimulates the economy, and that's what it's all about. But why doesn't Governor Carter tell us about his tax plans? He has a little bit. He said all church property except the church itself ought to be taxed. He told us that much. He said, most Americans don't want their taxes lowered. Anybody here that want their taxes lowered? We've got a doctor with us, and he'll be glad to check you over. He also said that those above the median income, those American families, ought to have their taxes increased. Only one thing he didn't know, he didn't know what the median income was. And the median income is not $50,000 or $100,000 per family. It's $14,000 per family. That's middle-income America. President Ford said those families ought to have tax reductions, not tax increases. And he's tried to do that. So I would just ask that you take a good, cold, hard look. Right now, we're a wee bit behind in the state of Florida. We can carry the state of Florida if we get a lot of help from a Republican area like this, and if we really turn out the vote, we can win this state in the next 10 days. So I would only say this. If you'll work for us for 10 days, we'll work for you for 4 years, and that isn't a bad trade. And we'll work for a strong America. Yes, strong for the sake of peace. We'll work for a sound economy and a sound environment and good educational policies for young men and young women. We'll work for a balanced government, a better Congress, not dominated by organized labor leaders, not the working men and women, but leaders. And above all, we'll give you that decency and honesty that's become President Ford's hallmark. And one thing about Gerry Ford, win or lose, he's an honest, decent American. He's candid, he's open, he's accessible, and I think he's a man of great compassion. Now, I heard Governor Carter's reference to me last night about Vice President. I wouldn't serve on his ticket either. I just say take a look at our voting records. That's what it's all about. If you want someone with a 100% ADA rating, and that's not the American Dairy Association, and it's not the American Dental Association, it's the Americans for Democratic Action, the most liberal group in America, and the chairman is George McGovern, and Mondale has a higher score than the chairman. He has a higher score than McGovern. If you want somebody with a zero national security index rating, we're talking about the defense of our country, and I have a 100 rating there, then you look at Mondale's record. Our voting records are there. Yes, our voting records are there. And I've called on Governor Carter to assure the American people and the unfortunate event he should be elected that Vice President Mondale would not be dealing in defense matters because of his strong anti-defense record. That's not a partisan matter. It's a matter of our security. It's a matter of our freedom. It's a matter of our leadership. And that's sacred. That's not partisan. That's not Republican. That's not Democratic. So I say just take a hard look and do the best thing for America. Work and vote for Gerry Ford for the next 10 days. Thank you very much. Well, we look at the record and we find that inflation has been more than cut in half. There are 88 million people working, the highest number ever. About 40% of the population. We know we have unemployment. We're concerned about that. We think that unemployment and inflation are twin evils. We're working on both. With President Ford's leadership the next 4 years, we're going to get everything back in the right order.
Senator, the latest poll shows Carter gains in Michigan. Do you expect that trend to continue from now through November?
Well, what was the, I don't know what the
latest poll published today in the Detroit News shows Carter's 3 percentage points behind at this point. Is this a sign of a Ford-Dole weakness or Carter's strength?
Well, I think it's a sign of a very volatile election. The polls are changing everywhere. I'm very confident President Ford will carry the state of Michigan along with Marv Esch, and we just feel very optimistic. Everything's upbeat. The last debate was good. President Ford's out on the road. We're going to win this election. We're going to win his home state, of course, hopefully by a big margin.
Senator, the national polls still show the Republicans behind.
Right.
As you go into the last week, a little more than a week, what do you think can make the difference, or what are you thinking of as you go into that last period of time?
Well, I'm going to discuss the fact that we're at peace, the economy is coming around. You know, why change? If there were some reason to change a leadership, that would be one thing. But why change when you're at peace in the world, you're respected by your adversaries and your friends, the economy's coming around, people are going back to work, President Ford is a model of decency and honesty. You know, there's really no reason for a change.
Senator, are you here to help President Ford in Michigan?
Pardon?
Are you here to help President Ford carry Michigan?
No, I'm here to help myself. I'm going to listen to Billy Graham. I'm here.
You're not speaking. You're not.
That's right.
You're just coming to listen.
I was invited to come. It looked like a good place to spend the day.
How does that help the campaign?
It helps me.
How's that?
Well, I don't know. I just like Billy Graham. I think a great deal of him. And it's sort of like coming back home to come to Michigan. I spent about 3 years in Army hospitals in Battle Creek, Michigan, and I know the area pretty well. It's a great state.
You're going to be out anyway today. I mean, you could be having a couple of rallies today, and you decided not to, but to do this. Why is that?
Is this a political trip, Senator?
No, not really. I think Senator Mondale and I were both invited. I came.
Well, how does it help the campaign?
Oh, we'll find out. We're winning.
Very much.
Thank you.
I don't know, Mark.
Back.
And I invited two. This time I decided to invite all four, so all four would agree to come. I got a nice little number from a couple of parties saying he couldn't come. I called the White House saying the president should come. We haven't heard from him on Monday. Maybe we have, but maybe it's in time. Their old friend of ours, lives not very far from where I do. And her family have been supportive friends of ours for many years. Johnny Cash. We're always happy to for any time they're in town, they're in town with it, or their relatives. The letters were identical. Thank you very much. And I hope you'll stay with the ceremony.
I'm not endorsing any political candidate. because my wife was running, I might support her. But she's not running, so I'm not supporting anybody publicly. And but we've known Son of the Dole a number of years. We've been friends for a number of years. And when he married Elizabeth Henford from Salisbury, North Carolina, she knows what grits are, and she knows what country ham is and black-eyed peas, because we were reared just a short distance apart, and she only lives a few miles from us now, down in North Carolina. And we have watched her rise to become one of the most distinguished lawyers in America in her own right, and a member of the Federal Trade Commission. I'll leave my back in a moment, of course. But we're delighted to have both of them here. And you know, I was telling the Senator a moment ago, several people have asked me what's wrong with his arm. You know, he holds his right arm this way and he shakes hands left-handed. Well, the reason is he was wounded in the war fighting for the United States. And that's how he got the arm away. You know, the Bible, and I think his being here today is significant in this sense, that it will encourage all of us to go to the polls and vote, whether you vote Democrat or Republican. I think it's attractive that we have apathy this year. And it would be a terrible blow to our democracy if less than 50% of the American people go to the polls and vote. We're a free country, we're a great country, and if we're going to preserve our freedom, we ought to go to the polls and vote. And I think we ought to also pray. The Apostle Paul said, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. That's the Chinese and the Russians and everybody. For kings and for all that are in authority. You know who the king was at that time? Nero. We should pray for them, Paul said. That's the duty of the Christian. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So, no matter who gets elected, our job is to pray for them. And let me tell you, whoever gets it, they're going to need prayer. Thank you and God bless you.
Many of you have been here for quite some time this afternoon. And over beneath the goalpost to my right,
that led, though God's celestial shore,